God, eternal and unchanging, though unbound by time or place, yet with constant tender yearning, you sustain our human race. History in all its colours present moment where we stand, hidden future still to open, all gathered in your hand. God, who sees all human stories, you in each your touch display, sometimes known and sometimes hidden, you have met us on our way. Though we may have failed or faltered, doubted love, resisted grace, yet persistent you walked with us as we travelled to this place. God, whose life pervades every moment, meets us in this present hour as we open thought and action to your life's transforming power. Startle, challenge, and confront us, touch our hearts and free our hands, so that we may see and serve you, yield to all your love demands. God, who stands beyond the future, what's to come is still unknown, yet unchanging, you are with us, and we will not walk alone. Go with us through doubt and darkness, stand with us in hopeful place, till the chain of time is broken, and we see you face to face. Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you here. You've made it through that stormy wind and snow and ice and everything that's out there. So it's great to be together in this nice warm place with friendly folk come and ready to worship God. We're blessed this morning by having the orchestra with us. And it's been lovely as I've been getting my head in the right place for leading worship to have that in the background. It's lovely to have you all with us. We've also got a visitor up in the organ loft. We've got Gordon with us this morning. Emily's having a Sunday off. Maybe give Gordon a wave. We'll give Gordon a wave. Yeah. So it's lovely that you can be with us this morning too, Gordon, to help us lead us in our time of worship. The order of service has the intimations for the coming week. Nobody has given me anything extra, so I'll leave you to read most of them there, just to maybe point out one or two things. When we were doing the Poppy Project in the run-up to Armistice, a few folk got started to get together of an afternoon to knit the poppies and crochet the poppies, put them all together, and just spend some time in fellowship as well as working on little projects. So out of that came a request that maybe something like that could continue. So tomorrow afternoon a new group starts. It's called the Knit and Natter Group, and anybody who does any crafts of any kind is welcome to come along at 2 o'clock to Scalty along at the Kirk Centre. There'll be refreshments, there'll be chat, and you can work away on your little projects. If you've not got a project, then apparently there are some ideas, so please feel free to come along, whether it's knitting, crocheting, embroidering, sewing, whatever it is that you like to do, you'd be very, very welcome. And then a reminder that on Thursday we have the First Message Church of 2019, and it's a great time of friendship and fellowship. Crafts and a little bit of mess gets created, and it's for all ages. I know I stress this every time. Message Church isn't just for children, it's for all ages. It's something that we can all sit down and do together. So if you're wanting to come along and just find out what it's all about, don't worry if you've not got any children in tow. You're very, very welcome. Any children must come accompanied by an adult, but adults, you can come on your own. So if you would like to come along, you'll be made very welcome. We're going to start with some tea, coffee, juice and biscuits at 3:30, get the activities going around 4 o'clock, and we always finish off with a wee bit of food. So like I say, everyone always very welcome. We are here this morning to worship God. What we know, we cannot unknow. When we experience God's love, we cannot unexperience that welcome. When we have enjoyed the feast, we cannot pretend we've not been filled when we've eaten. With you, Lord, there is no turning back, no returning to what was once, for we would journey ever forward in faith. So let's come to worship God, in whom we place our trust. Let us come and raise our voices in praise to the God of all that is old and new. Let us come as one people, united in faith and community. Our hymn is 213, Every New Morning. Please join me as we come to God in prayer. Creative One, holy and mysterious, maker of the universe, designer of all that is, we come humbly before you today and offer this time of worship. We are glad to be here, eager and alert to be astonished anew by your word to us. Open our hearts and minds to the wonder of your word, to the grace and mercy found within them. May we be encouraged and challenged by your word today. May we hear it afresh and listen for your teaching, that we might be enabled to take your word out into the world. We are sorry for those times when we fail to rise to the challenge of your word. We're sorry for those times we choose to ignore your teaching and prefer to try and do things our way. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to concentrate and to take heart your word today. May it change us and revitalize us so that we are able to take your word out with us and share it freely wherever we can. And hear us as we pray together the words taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're all a bit different, aren't we? I look around and I see lots of different faces. Some young, some not so young, some a wee bit older. But we're all different, and we all come into church with different expectations, different things that we're looking for. But one of the things I think that is amazing is, despite all our differences, that God loves each and every one of us. And that's one of the biggest things I take from my faith, that God loves each and every one of us. Anyway, I want to play a little game that will maybe highlight just how different we all are. And so I'm going to ask those of you who feel able to stand up. You look up on your feet. Okay. Right. So it's a wee game of sit down, So I'm going to ask people to sit down if. So the first thing I've got on my list, sit down if you have blue eyes. Oh, you didn't get to stand for very long, did you? Sit down if you support Aberdeen Football Club. Sit down if you like ham and pineapple on a pizza. Oh, no! Anyway, sit down if winter is your favourite season. Oh, a few folk like winter. Okay. Right, sit down if you prefer tea to coffee. Oh, we're not left with very many people, are we? Like, okay. Sit down if you walked to church today. Oh, we've got three left. See, anybody else? Maybe nobody hiding behind a pillar that I'm not seeing. Right, okay. Let's see how far we can get with this. Sit down if you are left-handed. Oh, we're down to two. Sit down if you ever wear glasses. I'm not sure if this makes you the most unique person here. See how different we all were. I'm surprised how many of you like pineapple and ham on a pizza, though. Some people in here know just how much I think that's an abomination. Fruit and meat together on a pizza just does not exist. It should not exist anyway. But anyway, that just illustrates a little bit to us how different we all are. And Anne, you're very, very different. But back to what I said at the beginning, we are all different and we all have different expectations. And we're going to hear a little parable, a couple of little parables in our gospel reading this morning that talk about when you try to put new things into old things. And what I want to say about that is that it doesn't matter that we're all different because we're not all going to fit in. In every circumstance and everything that we do. But what we need to think about is how we can find space for all of us in what we do. And so it's great that on a Sunday morning, for example, that the children are well looked after. They go and they have their own teaching through in the new hall while the adults stay behind, because I'm pretty sure that the children would probably sit and yawn all the way through my sermon, because some of the adults do that too. Can you believe that? No, Sarah doesn't believe that. Anyway. So it's good that we can find different ways of doing different things to enable all of us to feel part of this community that we call church. And that's one of the things I want us to be thinking about this morning. Anyway, we're going to sing again, and the orchestra are playing for us again in our next hymn. And our hymn is 193, God is Love, His the Care.
Thank you. Our first reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, reading verses 33 to 39. And this is to be found on page 83 of the Good News Bible. The question about fasting. Some people said to Jesus, "The disciples of John fast frequently and offer prayers, and the disciples of the Pharisees do the same, but your disciples eat and drink." Jesus answered, "Do you think you can make the guests at a wedding party go without food as long as the bridegroom is with them? Of course not. But the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." Jesus also told them this parable. No one tears a piece off a new coat to patch up an old coat. If he does, he will have torn the new coat, and the piece of the new cloth will not match the old. Nor does anyone pour new wine into used wineskins, because the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will pour out, and the skins will be ruined. Instead, new wine must be poured into fresh wineskins, and no one wants new wine after drinking old wine. The old is better, he says. Second reading is from Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, and this is on page 235 of the Good News Bible. Paul's concern for the Galatians. In the past you did not know God, and so you were slaves of beings who are not gods. But now that you know God, or I should say, now that God knows you, how is it that you want to turn back to those weak and pitiful ruling spirits? Why do you want to become their slaves all over again? Thanks be to God for this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Bruce. We sing again, and this time our hymn is 206. Break not the circle of enabling love, where people grow forgiven and forgiving. That last verse, just a wonderful verse. Join then the movement of love that frees, till people of whatever race or nation will truly be themselves, stand on their feet, see eye to eye with laughter and elation. What a great prayer for our world. Anyway, on Friday lunchtime, a group of women with an average age of about 50 met in the bar at Aberdeen train station. An excited gaggle of girls of a certain age heading to Inverness for a hen night. The bride was easily identified by her headgear, and the rest of the group by the t-shirts proudly announcing they were part of Angie's hen night in Inverness. A quick drink in the bar, then onto the train. A mix of delight and horror from fellow passengers that they would be sharing their journey with this excitable group. Each member of the group had their own gift bag labelled Hen Party. The bag contained an assortment of items, including wee bottles of Prosecco and plastic champagne flutes. Needless to say, these were the first items out of the bag. The journey to Inverness ensued with much laughter, more wine, but there were some nibbles to soak up the wine too. Arriving in Inverness a couple of hours later, it was a quick trip to the hotel to drop bags off before the night's entertainment. Fast forward a few hours, and the flock of hens were tucked up in bed, and it wasn't even 11 o'clock. The early start proving too much for these old chooks. When I left Inverness yesterday afternoon, the rest of the hens were just getting started on round two of the weekend and getting ready for their cocktail masterclass. My cousin Angie, again easily identified as the bride-to-be with her fluff-enhanced L-plates. A hen party of older hens intent on once again attempting to show that they had plenty of life left in them. And from all accounts, they lasted longer last night than they did on Friday night. Today's gospel reading talks of sometimes having to acknowledge that putting new into old doesn't work. New wine in old wineskins can be messy. Jesus is talking about a new way of living, a new way of looking at our relationship with God. The passage we heard began with a question. Why was it that Jesus and his disciples didn't follow the same rules as John the Baptist and his followers, or those of the Pharisees? The example given is of fasting and praying. Jesus' response is to use the example of a wedding feast, with a pointer towards the celebration that ensues whilst the bridegroom is with them. Do you think you can make the guests at a wedding party go without food as long as the bridegroom is with them? Of course not. But the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. The Pharisees had made a religion out of don't do this and don't do that. They were sucking the joy out of God's love. Jesus' new way was one of freedom. Freedom to live and freedom to love. Freedom to laugh and have fun, to enjoy life. A life of joy based on living out the love that Jesus commanded. Love God and love your neighbour is not intended to be a burden. The bridegroom that Jesus spoke of in his wee story is, of course, himself. The language he uses would have been familiar to those listening. They'd have known their Hebrew scriptures and would have known that God is often referred to as the bridegroom and Israel as the bride. In the same way, we might recognise the church today as Christ's bride. Weddings are fun occasions. They take a great deal of preparation. But in the midst of all the fun is a serious commitment between bride and bridegroom to love each other forever. Jesus is serious in his love for God's people. But he isn't so tied up in the do's and don'ts to miss the point. Weddings are a time of celebration, not fasting. Faith should be liberating and fun. I'm guessing many of us will have memories of years gone by when the church was guilty, perhaps at times, of being devoid of fun. when everything was serious and solemn. And of course, there are still times when that is appropriate. There's a lovely wee story about a little girl who goes to stay with her grandparents. They belong to a church where the Sabbath is a day for going to church and for nothing else. And on the Sunday after church, they return to her grandparents' cottage and she's told to sit in a chair and not to move. Of course, she gets bored. And she asks if she might be allowed to go outside into the garden. Her grandparents relent and say yes, so long as she doesn't run about making a noise. So off she goes and has a wee walk down the garden to the back fence. In the field on the other side of the fence, there's a donkey. It wanders over to the wee girl, its face looking sad in the way that a donkey's face does. And the wee girl looks at him sadly and says, "You got religion too." Is that really the image of life, a life of faith that we want to project? Is that what Jesus wants us to project? Of course not. Faith isn't something you find by keeping a set of rules. Faith is about loving God, loving Jesus, and we all know that no one can be forced to love. You can't pick up a manual and read how to love. Love is something you feel here, deep inside. That's not to say that there aren't things we can do to keep faith and love alive. We need to look after our faith and work at it. Turning now to the parable about new cloth not being used to mend old clothes and of new wine needing to be put in new wineskins and not old ones. The Church of Scotland, like many churches, is facing up to the need to do something to stem the decline in both membership and numbers attending worship. Internally, at a national level, a review is underway, looking to come up with a radical plan for the structures of the church that will make it fit for the 21st century. Locally, the presbytery is currently looking at its presbytery plan, looking at how best to minister to the whole of Aberdeen Presbytery going forward. And this coming week, a group made up of committee and core group conveners will meet to start looking at creating a new development plan for us here in this church, the local church. These reviews and planning exercises can be unsettling. The idea of change can make people fight to hang on to their idea of what church is. The old ways taking on a rose-tinted hue. Back in the day, the hymns were always great. Back in the day, the church was always full. Back in the day, there were hundreds of children in Sunday school. Ah, yes, those days. If only. The harsh reality is that times have changed and in many ways the church has failed to keep up, hanging on by its fingertips to doing things the way it's aye been, being blind to the way the world around has changed, or worse still, deliberately ignoring it. And yet the irony is that the Church of Scotland is a church of the Reformed tradition. We grew out of a need for change. Our roots are in the Great Reformation of the 1560s. The challenge today is to find ways of finding new wine skins to fill with new wine, at the same time as not upsetting too many who prefer the old wine skins. There are plenty of stories told of the challenges that individual congregations have faced when trying to blend the old and the new. The introduction of more modern worship songs and instruments, greater participation, even a change to a particular version of the Bible have all provided ample fodder for disgruntled sighs from the traditionalists and impatient cries from the modernists. It has led to some congregations adopting different services with different flavours, which can lead to essentially different congregations meeting within the same church. Perhaps this gives an insight into the complexity of the situation that Jesus is addressing at the end of chapter 5 in Luke's Gospel. How do you mix the old with the new? Can you find a perfect compromise that hacks everyone off to the same degree? Or are you better accepting that if something new is going to happen, then relish it and enjoy it, absorbing the attendant cost. What place is there for traditional in the meantime? Does it have to be either or can you work at both and? Forcing the new into the old is no good. Just like a new piece of cloth sewn into an old garment will shrink on washing, whereas the old is already shrunken, ripping itself apart. Just like new wine still fermenting, placed in an inflexible old wineskin that is already stretched, will place too much pressure on it, and the wineskin will burst and spill the precious wine and ruin the skin. This is a real challenge for churches today that may be sensing that they have become the old garment, the old wineskin, no longer able to adapt to the new situation around them in their communities and culture. Are they still appropriate? Yes, for those for whom these forms of worship and Christian living are still meaningful, but perhaps no for those who are finding ways to be church and to live Jesus' way within their own very different context. Luke, the author of this gospel and the book of Acts, knew only too well the struggles of a new community of faith growing out of an older tradition. How we today hold the two in balance, enjoying and supporting them both, is our great challenge in a time of continuing change. I know I've quoted Edward Marquardt several times before, indeed I did so just last week, but it's only because he sometimes has a great way of making a point. In writing on this particular passage and the subject of new wine in relation to the church, he writes this. In the church, when there is new wine, let me tell you, there will be new wineskins. That is the way it always has been. The church has always been finding new wineskins in every generation and every culture throughout human history. That doesn't mean the essence of Christianity has changed. It only means the cultural wrappings are forever changing. The message of Jesus Christ and his eternal love from the cross never changes, but the wrappings of this message constantly change. The book of Hebrews, he continues, says that Christ was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and that is true. But the wineskins are forever changing. We Christians will forever create new songs and new liturgy and new languages and new forms. Otherwise, the new wine of Jesus Christ will burst the old wine bags. When I meet with wedding couples to discuss their wedding ceremony, I stress to them that the most important part of the day is the moment that they commit to each other by exchanging vows. The rest is the wrappings. I will do my best to ensure that that moment that they look into each other's eyes and promise to love each other through thick and thin is as special as possible. Everything else is secondary to that moment. The same goes for church. At the core of everything we do is our commitment to God and God's commitment to us. Nothing can change the sacrificial love of God for God's people. How we do church makes not a jot of difference to that. God doesn't love us more or love us less because of what hymns we sing or what instruments we sing along to. God doesn't love us more or love us less because of the Bible translation that we use. God doesn't love us more or love us less if we prefer to this evening's sun goes down service over the Sunday morning service, or if messy church gets your vote. The Church Without Walls report to the General Assembly of 2001 is being revisited as part of the radical plan for the future that the Central Church is developing. It was a report that 18 years ago was a rallying cry for change. And yet here we are in 2019 revisiting it, hopefully not 18 years too late. In the summary of the report, we read these words: the church works where people join together, building relationships with each other and the community to which they belong. It's through these relationships that the gospel is spread. In each place, the church is different. There is no one model that fits all. We rejoice in the diversity within the church. We celebrate and encourage it. Recognizing the diversity of who we are as a congregation is worth celebrating. I've long held that the strength of the Church of Scotland is indeed its diversity. Different people at various stages of spiritual development, having different theological ideas, different tastes in music, liturgy, worship, all in community with one another. Yes, it's a challenge and not without tension. But if we can be flexible enough to use new wineskins instead of old and flexible wineskins, then we have a starting point for the future. The work of thinking about our future began at our conference in September, and it continues this week as the group meets to look more closely at the thoughts shared on that day. Please pray for the group that we can begin to create a vision for this church that will take us forward into the next decade and beyond. Amen. We continue to worship God, this time in our offering. Let us pray. Generous God, giver of all good gifts, we honour you today and present our gifts to you. May they be used wisely. May they go to where they are most needed. Amen. We sing together hymn 562, Through the Love of God, Our Saviour, hymn 562. Thank you. please join me as we bring our prayer of thanksgiving and for others to God. Lord, we are forever thankful for all that you have given us, for families, food and shelter, for education and healthcare, for freedom to speak of our faith and minds to explore the wonders of the world. Science and technology are continuing to challenge and change our view of the universe and our understanding of where we stand within it all. History reminds us that we have not always coped with change and have sometimes caused others harm by our choices and rules. Farmers and factory workers work long, hard hours to ensure a harvest of food fit for all people. But giant conglomerates too often seek profit over people and can be a cause of hunger for far too many people. Lord, you sent Jesus to help us discover more of you and to draw us into a deeper relationship with you. We long to continue the work Jesus began. We long to teach peace, to ensure justice for all, to ensure equality and fairness for all people. Help us in our daily lives to share your word and live your values that all may know of your love and care and that all may choose to follow you. May your kingdom come and your will be done. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 465, Be Thou My Vision. Called to the new, From past traditions, we build towards new life. From the comfortable, we embrace the challenge and journey with Jesus. We go ready and motivated to follow, to serve, to witness to the grace and love of God. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit guide your walk with him this week and always.